Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lane Keys, Real Talk. Back with another episode. This could be number 180, if I had a guess off the top of my head. Yeah, maybe 180, 178, 179. That's just a random guess, just based off the few we've skipped recently. I forget what it was when I look back, but whatever. We're rounding out the end of 2020 right now, so this is pre-end of 2020 show, because we're actually going to do a true year-in-review show next week. We're going to do that on next week, so we're going to get that one going when Lee is back. It's me and Evan tonight, or Evan and I tonight, holding it down. So we're going to be getting to that year-in-review show later next week. Tonight is the pre-year-in-review show, but it's also a New Year and review show, because the first month of January is mind-blowing. It's an unbelievable month of fights in the UFC, and we're definitely going to be diving into that. We did just lose one of those. We pretty much lost one of those fights. Not the entire fight, but we did lose a big aspect of one of those fights, which I'm sure most have heard that, but we'll be diving into that as well. Evan, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. I was just previewing some of the things that we might want to get into tonight, including the crazy January schedule for the UFC.
Absolutely, no. It's what a trifecta of UFC fight cards that we have right smack in the middle of January. I'm very excited. As you did mention, we did lose the main event for the January 20th UFC fight card. It was supposed to be Khamzat Chimaev versus Leon Edwards, or the other way. Khamzat had to pull out due to his lungs still needing to recover him from getting COVID. It appears that Leon Edwards wants to stay on the card, so they're looking to rebook him. We just got to see what's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, it looks like Leon Edwards, I think Leon Edwards, number one, he would want to fight Jorge Masvidal. It seems like he wants that fight, but, I don't think he's going to get that fight, because I feel like Masvidal is after the way he just lost to the champion, I don't think he wants to take a fight like that where it's sure he can win. And I feel like that's not really me hating on Masvidal. I just feel like that's being realistic. I mean, you're fighting Leon Edwards. He's a really good fighter. I mean, I would think that Masvidal's next fight, he would want to take a guy who's a challenge but not – that level of challenge where it's like, okay, I need to really be like A+ to win this fight. You know what I mean?
100%. I agree wholeheartedly. I think that might be the toughest fight, or not the toughest fight, but like Masvidal, like you said, Masvidal cannot risk a loss again. The loss to Usman, I don't think, is heavily credited. You know, I've seen in the comments a lot of people, defending him, giving him an excuse. Oh, he took it on this day's notice, the weight cut, blah, blah, blah. It's like, whatever. He lost. He got dominated. Wasn't the most exciting fight, but it was pure domination on Usman's part, and he deserves, that win. But if Masvidal were to fight Edwards and lose to Edwards, now that hurts the bad MF, brand. That hurts his brand, and then they're not going to do the Colby fight either. I don't know what they're doing with that fight. But I'm not sure what they're going to do with Leon Edwards. It's not looking good. His options are very slim, and chances are he's going to have to find someone outside of the top five to fight, but we'll see. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just figure it out.
Oh, wow, I was muted. Sorry about that. Your boy Kevin Holland actually called out Leon Edwards. He wants to slide in for that fight, even though I did see that he got booked to fight Derek Brunson, so he's scheduled to fight Derek Brunson. But it seems like, I mean, knowing a guy like that, I could see Kevin Holland taking both fights. Not that I think it's a great idea, but I could see him still fighting Derek Brunson. I think that's like in February or March. So I could see him fighting Leon Edwards in January and then turning around and fighting Derek Brunson in February or March. Just the way that Kevin Holland is, you know, he fought like 5 or 6 times in 2020. So I really wouldn't put it past him to fight both of those guys, you know, in the first quarter of 2021. But either way, I mean, I think, you know, the way Kevin Holland just, you know, the performance he just had, you know, the way he just beat Jacare, and that was like, I feel like that was kind of like a historic win. I mean, I'm not going to jump into it, but I mean, he had such a good performance. I feel like the UFC, if I'm them, I would jump on Kevin Holland to step in versus Leon Edwards. I just don't think I don't think there's a better option.
You know what? I honestly totally forgot that Kevin Holland wants to dance at welterweight and middleweight. You know, because he's mentioned it before, and he was actually supposed to get booked a while ago for a welterweight fight. It just didn't pan out. But, you know, he's not, you know, he's not like Paulo Costa in 185. You know, he's clearly got some, you know, he's got some meat on him to be at 185. But he wants to go to 170. And, you know, I'm all for it. If you want to go down and dance. And I think it's a perfect fight for Leon Edwards, too, because if Leon loses, you know, like, it's not like he lost to, you know, just some Joe Schmo unranked welterweight. You know, he lost to some guy who's, you know, going to be fighting one of the best at 185 who came down to 170. So, excuse me, I apologize. But chances are it won't happen. You know, they're not going to want to risk that main event, you know, at the Brunson main event, which I think is also a really good fight. But I don't know, man. It's a tough call, and I feel terrible for Leon.
I mean, you know what fight that I actually really wouldn't mind? I mean, really, any of these three guys, I wouldn't mind seeing fight each other because they've all kind of been – they're all kind of like been in the mix or they're about to fight. I mean, the number one fight that I would probably want to see is I know Santiago Ponzinibbio is supposed to fight soon. I'm pretty sure he's scheduled to fight in the first quarter of 2021 also. I don't know. I don't know exactly when he's fighting. I know he's fighting a relatively unknown guy. At least I can say it's a – I remember when I saw the fight, it was somebody that I at least don't know. And I think Ponzinibbio is, you know, much higher level than that. I think he's great. And I love watching him fight. So I would really like to see them – If Ponzinibbio would want to jump into the Leon Edwards fight and they take him off of the fight he's in and then have that, you know, person fight someone else, put Ponzinibbio in there with Leon Edwards, that's the fight that I want to see. That I think that would actually be even better than putting Kevin Holland in there because, you know, like you said, Kevin Holland just fought at middleweight. So, you know, they might want to have a more high profile welterweight fight, you know, for the division.
Ponzinibbio. I liked Ponzi. You know, I liked him back when he was coming up on the rise. You know, he got his main event against Magny, and he looked good. But there were some rumors, you know, that besides injuries that had plagued his career, there were some rumors that he turned down a fight with Till and, you know, just didn't really want to fight, like, the top guys at welterweight at one point, like, because he was supposed to fight way back last year in December when Colby and Usman fought. He was supposed to fight back then against Robbie Lawler, but injuries got him. So I don't know. I've always had just kind of had a funny feeling about that guy. Just, you know, rumors and stuff. Can't believe everything you see. But with all that being said, him fighting Leon would be a great fight. I know they can promote the crap out of it. Will they do it? I don't know. I mean, the guy is getting ready to fight someone, so it's not like, you know, he's just coming off the streets, but like, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to pull the plug on that one. It's a great fight and it's a huge opportunity, but I don't know about that one.
I mean, my thing is this too, like if you're the UFC, like looking at it like this, if you're the UFC and you have Leon Edwards, he hasn't fought, I want to say in 2 years. I want to say it's been 2 years at this point since Leon Edwards. I'm pretty sure he last fought in 2018. I mean, maybe it was early 2019 and I'm just forgetting, but I feel like it's been a really long time. I haven't seen him fight. I mean, I want to say he fought Dos Anjos the last time he fought, and that was a while ago. I mean, Dos Anjos has fought like multiple guys since that fight, and you know, he's kind of long past that. But if you're the UFC, do you drop the ball on Leon Edwards for the second time? I mean, they didn't really drop the ball, but at the same time, they dropped the ball on like the main event itself because of either Leon Edwards or Khamzat Chimaev. Like, not really them dropping the ball on the fighters. The fight, like, unforeseen circumstances, like, more or less came up, and that was the reason why the fight keeps falling through. But it's kind of like Khabib and Tony. Like, a lot of that stuff was, you know, there was a lot of unforeseen circumstances there, too. Like, you know, Tony tripped over a speaker wire or whatever it was, and then, you know, Khabib, they were supposed to fight, you know, the last time he got stuck in Russia because of, you know, COVID and all this stuff, and just crazy things just miraculously happening. And now it's like, you know, both of these guys tested positive, so now they can't fight. And it's pretty much, you know, we could be seeing the second time that this main event, you know, falls apart within like a 2 month span. And if you're the UFC, like, do you let that happen two times in 2 months? That this fight
right.
falls out. I mean, there's nothing you could do about the fight, but I mean, it's like where you have Leon Edwards, like, first of all, I would say at least try to salvage like a Leon Edwards fight, like at least get him somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put him in there with Kobe Covington. Now where's Kobe Covington at? You know what I mean? He's got to be around here somewhere.
Kobe's calling for the George fight because we all thought that I really think that's what's going to happen. I think Kobe and George are going to fight. I think, I think because they want to do the Ultimate Fighter, and that would be a great debut fight, the return of the Ultimate Fighter, do great numbers. Because Kobe Covington clearly wants the title shot again, and I don't think they're going to risk his, you know, risk him getting beat again without, you know, the ability to rebook the Usman fight.
So I think they're going to give him George and, they're going to do the Ultimate Fighter.
So when you look at the top five in the division, you take out Kobe and George because I think they're going to fight. I really do. Wonderboy's hurt. He's not fighting. Burns and Usman should be getting booked to fight at some point soon. So there's truly no one for Edwards to fight, honestly. And I'm not for nothing. I talked about this with someone else. I don't think Edwards is going to fight in January. I really don't. I know he wants to, but I don't think he's going to be satisfied with the opponent that they're going to offer him. You know what I'm saying? I really don't see anyone like – I know he was going to fight Khamzat, but if he beat Khamzat, you know, that would have helped his stock slightly because, you know, people would just be like, oh, Khamzat was never ready. He was just he was the Johnny Walker at welterweight. And it's like, okay, he's got a million followers on Instagram. Y'all boast him like he's Khabib. Yet as soon as he loses, y'all turn on him, which they will. As soon as he loses, they will turn on Khamzat Chimaev like nothing flat, just like they did against Johnny Walker. Those are my thoughts, my friend.
So, I have a question on your last point about the fans turning on him as soon as he loses, and then we can kind of cycle back to the We can close out the Leon Edwards topic there. But, I mean, as far as the fans turning on him, do you think that Khamzat Chimaev will lose before he gets to the title fight?
It's possible, depending on who they put him up against in his next fight. Because the crazy part is that since he does welterweight and middleweight, so he can dance at both if he wants to. I don't know. If he beat Leon, he would have skipped Burns and he would have got the title shot. No problem. He would have got it. But now with that Leon fight not happening, they're going to go ahead with the Burns-Usman fight. I don't know what they're waiting on to reannounce that. I really have no clue. It's clearly the fight to make. You promoted and you booked that fight to happen, and then, you took it from him. Well, you didn't take it from him. COVID took it from him and then gave it to Masvidal. But now it's time for, turn the favor. Just like, with Jose Aldo. Jose was supposed to fight Cejudo. Jose fell out, but then they gave him the title shot against Jan, and he still couldn't do it. So I do think if he loses his next fight, the fans will turn on him because that's what the fans do. And I take that back because those aren't the fans. Those are the people that fall into the hype train trap of someone who has shown great promise, but not against top level competition. He's shown the promise against the lower level guys, but that happened. A lot of these fighters get to that top level and they start to realize that it's just a different ballgame. Not everyone, rises to the top as we all thought. Like, for a quick example, there was a fighter in the UFC, his name was Jason Knight. He used to fight at featherweight, and on the upcoming, in his rise, he was doing really good, had some really good matchups. But then he took a last-minute fight against Ricardo Lamas, and he got knocked out, and his career was never the same. I don't even think he won, a fight since then. And just that.
Didn't he get cut from the UFC like shortly after that too?
Yeah, he's in bare knuckle boxing now. He's still young, he's only. Yes, you check this shit. Excuse me, apologies. He was on a 4-fight win streak of 2 finishes, 2 decisions. He fought Ricardo Lamas and got knocked out. 3 straight fights. After the Ricardo, he went 0-4 in his last 4. Or 0-3, rather, since losing 2. He was literally 20-2. 20 wins, 2 losses before Ricardo Lamas. And just fighting that top-level guy when you're not ready, it sadly cost him, and now he's in bare knuckle. Maybe they're paying him well and he's having a good time, but I'm sure that, that keeps him up at night. That I think he just pushed himself too far. And I get it. You have to take those opportunities. Look at Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett took the fight against Ricardo Lamas, and boom. And now he's not a superstar, but, he had 1 good win freaking against Lamas, and they stocked him up like he was, the best thing. And then he had a great fight. He knocked out Lamas, then he got knocked out by Jeremy Stephens, then he came back, beat Johnson, beat Mirsad Bektik, beat Shane Burgos in a decision, which I think is crap. I'm a huge Burgos fan, so I'm extremely biased, and I apologize for going off on a tangent here, but I will stop myself there. We'll see what happens with the fans. I don't know what's going to happen, but how fast they turn on Johnny Walker surprised me. But, what else we got to talk about?
I mean, it was actually crazy, too, when you think about it with Johnny Walker, because he was going in to fight Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson. This is the funny thing about that. Corey Anderson was a guy who a lot of people slept on versus Johnny Walker, especially because Corey Anderson, he hadn't really done anything like too crazy, like too like flashy in a while, but he was beating top guys. Like, I want to say, before he left the UFC, he had, you know, in his last four or five fights, like three of those guys were top 10 guys that he had wins over. So he was definitely mm-hmm. close. Like, he was definitely, he had notable wins. It was just that he wasn't, you know, he was winning decisions and things like that. And, you know, maybe he didn't have the most exciting fights, but he was beating high-level guys. And, you know, then he had Johnny Walker. People kind of overshadowed, you know, Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker overshadowed Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson knocks out Johnny Walker. Then we realize every fight after that that Johnny Walker has, like, no chin all of a sudden. He gets hit by Corey Anderson and just magically has no chin. But I have my theories as to that. I do think that it's something to be noted. If you look at who Johnny Walker had fought, he could have had a weak chin even in his earlier UFC fights. But if you really look at it and you think about it, he wasn't getting hit. So if you look at who he fought in the way he fought them, he used to come out very quick, very explosive, and he was very offensive quick, very early on. He tried to finish fights. And he was confident, too. He could have had a weak chin all along, but like I said, if you look at it, he really wasn't taking any damage for us to find that out. Because every guy that he fought in his first three UFC fights, he demolished them. He fought Khalil Roundtree Jr., demolished him. He fought Misha Cirkunov, demolished him. He fought that Justin Laidet guy, demolished him. And it was like he just really wasn't – nobody was able to tap his chin. So you really didn't know it, I feel like. And then when Corey Anderson gave him a smack, like you would like to say, when Corey Anderson gave him a smack, he was never the same. It was like he tapped his chin, and then I think Johnny Walker lost his confidence. And that's why now Johnny Walker doesn't really get talked about as much because he doesn't really fight the same. Like if you look at his fight versus the last guy he fought, I think he looked good because he got rocked in that fight too. He took a smack in that fight too, and he was rocked, but he came back from it, and he even was in bottom position at one point, and I was sure that he was going to get TKO'd, and he came back from it, and I think won the fight by TKO. He ended up in top position, so it was, isn't that what happened?
Yeah, he caught the guy coming in, he got caught coming in, and then he caught the guy after they got back to the feet. And then I think Spann, he fought Ryan Spann last. The Ryan Spann went for a takedown, and Johnny Walker immediately did Travis Brown elbows. You know, some controversy to that one. Some people think there were some back of the head shots, but I just think Spann was hurt, and Walker just laid in the elbows, and Spann could not recover. But people just it's funny because people loved Johnny Walker in the beginning. They loved him because he wasn't getting hurt. He was getting out clean. And then now as soon as he takes damage in a fight but then wins, they're still not happy. Like, oh, no, you won, but you didn't win the way I wanted you to win. It's like he got hurt, he overcame adversity, and then he got a finish. What more do you want from a fighter besides getting a clean finish, which isn't very likely in a fight because it's a fight? You're going to get hit. Like, go watch. I don't know what you're expecting from these guys. Like, you can't. It's like, for a stupid example, but it's like the guy who said that Conor McGregor wasn't going to land a punch on Floyd. It's like, are you stupid? Like, obviously he's going to land a punch. It's boxing. The only thing they can do is punch. He's not going to kick him in the head. Just some of these people just really get on my nerves, man. It's just some silly stuff.
Well, you know what? That was Max Kellerman. I'm almost positive that was Max Kellerman that said that he wouldn't land a single punch. I want to say Stephen A. Smith even also said McGregor wouldn't land a single punch. And Evan, you shouldn't have got me on this topic. Shouldn't have brought it up. Because now you got me going. And I've been talking about this, and I've been deprived of UFC because there's no events for a couple of weeks. I even watched a Michael Bisping. Look at this, Evan. I've been deprived of the UFC so much, I watched an entire Michael Bisping documentary. Not saying that that's not good material anyways. I just probably wouldn't have watched it if there was events, because I just probably wouldn't have came across it on YouTube. I wouldn't have went, you know what I mean? But I watched the entire Michael Bisping documentary, which made me, I already loved Michael Bisping, but it made me realize so much more how epic and legendary that he is. So I'm kind of mad that I missed like his ups and downs in his career. I wish I like knew who he was back when he was like still bald, like back in, but, my point is, I watched a whole Michael Bisping documentary. I watched like a whole season of the Ultimate Fighter. I watched the Ultimate Fighter documentary about how the Ultimate Fighter was started back when Dana White looked like he was 23. Okay, and like in the very first season of Tough, when you had like, you know, I was watching episodes from the season. I remember one of the seasons had Josh Koscheck in it. I was like, wow, this is really old clips. But anyways, yeah, Max Kellerman said he wouldn't land a single punch. Stephen A. Smith said he wouldn't land a single punch, and he landed 110 significant strikes. But the thing is this, is that the people that say that are the same people that don't realize that when these guys come in, it's the same scenario with Khamzat Chimaev versus Leon Edwards if the fight were to happen. It's the same scenario with Johnny Walker versus Corey Anderson, only that Leon Edwards is kind of like, I want to say he's like number four. And Corey Anderson, I want to say, was number eight at the time when Johnny Walker fought him. But I don't even think Johnny Walker was even ranked at that time. I think Johnny Walker, if anything,
15, I think. I think he was
15. Yeah. I was going to say, if anything, he had just broken into the rankings, and then he – and I'm almost positive Corey Anderson was at rank number eight at the time. So those are the same people that don't watch, like, the sports enough and or just don't watch, like, combat sports, period, and don't understand fighting, like, professional fighting to a point, like, to say that. Because it's like these guys, you know, I don't like to use the word casual either, but these are these fans who buy into the hype of these things, and it's like whatever anyone tells them is what it is. And it's like, oh, like to say that, you know, McGregor's not going to land a punch on Mayweather. But if you really look at like McGregor, it's like he's probably, you know, one of the only guys who has been training boxing since like he was a little kid. Like he's probably one of the only guys that probably could have went to boxing instead of the UFC. Because that's really what he has been. He's been training at a boxing gym forever, and he still does.
That brings up a really good point. You when you're finished, you got to let me bring something up. That brings up a good point, but continue.
Yeah. So no, I'm finishing right now. Is that it's the people that it just sounds good to say that he wouldn't land a punch. It sounds because they feel like they sound like. They know something when they say that. It's like you're following the crowd to say, oh, he can't beat that guy. And it's like, you really don't know anything about these two guys to know like how it would actually be. And furthermore is the same people don't know enough about, you know, Johnny Walker versus Corey Anderson or Khamzat Chimaev versus Leon Edwards to know that, you know, either Chimaev or Johnny Walker could get smashed in either one of those fights. You know, it sounds cool to say, oh, like, you know, I saw, you know, Chimaev on, you know, TMZ, or I saw a clip of him, you know, my friend said this guy is just gonna smash everybody, because that's what Chimaev does say. So he's gonna smash everybody. But it sounds cool to say that, to sound like you know what's going on. And that's the trend with a lot of these types of fans. They like to sound like they know, but they just don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's the exact truth. It's like I'm still learning so much about this sport. Like, there's so many things that I'm don't know crap about when watching MMA. Like, you know, we're talking about Johnny Walker and the Corey Anderson fight. You know, I got so lucky on that fight because I put money down that Corey was going to win by first round knockout. For whatever reason, I put it down. And I think I won like $300 off that. But I didn't know that was going to happen. It's just luck. I got super lucky. I'm sure other people knew it. But regardless, what I wanted to bring up is there's a YouTube video on the MacLife channel, the ones that follow McGregor. You should actually watch it. I forget who it is, but he's like the head coach of the Crumlin Boxing Club, which is the one that McGregor was a part of. And it's actually a really good listen because he just talked about Conor's just skill set and attributes. And I feel like I'm probably going to be wrong in saying this, but I think they were trying to compare, like, you know, did Dustin have a good boxing or better boxing than Conor? And the guy was me, like, no, Conor has better boxing. Like, he kind of, like, dismayed Dustin Poirier's ability, you know, as being one of the better boxers in the UFC. And I just saw that to be really interesting. And a lot of people actually, you know, to kind of bring up the fight, a lot of people are talking about, me and you and Lee, we've talked about this fight being, it's definitely going to be closer than the last fight. But the biggest question I think a lot of people are asking themselves, but aren't realizing that they're asking themselves, is, has Dustin Poirier gotten better, or has the lack of weight cut allowed him to appear that he's gotten better, but more so has just been able to take more damage, you know, because he's been through some wars at 155, but like he's still, you know, and he's beaten a lot of people, you know, he beat Eddie twice, beat Max Holloway, great fight. He beat Justin Gaethje, great fight. Dan Hooker, he was getting, him and Hooker had a good one. If Hooker could work on his cardio, that could have been a different fight. But just an interesting thought that you made me think of when we were talking about the Crumlin boxing. And I'm definitely going to send you that link to that YouTube video because I think you'd really like to listen to that one. I just love when people talk about McGregor and just his skill set and his mindset and how he is a sponge for the game. And he's not one of those guys who's like, oh, I know everything. Because he was. He admitted that when, before the Diaz fight, they were training when they wanted. It didn't matter because, you know, Conor struck gold, 13-second knockout. You know, top of the world, all this stuff. They weren't training, and then the Diaz rematch, you know, lit a fire in them. And now it's just true dedication and hard work. And, bro, honestly, it just gets me hyped. I can't wait to see Conor fight again, you know. So that's just my little ramble. We can move on to whatever we got left.
True dedication, hard work. That's what I've been saying. True dedication, hard work. Yo, I agree. No, it's I like how, you know, obviously it's not purposely, but you did save this bit for when Lee wasn't here. You may have never admitted it. Lee was not here, but you can't wait for McGregor to fight again. As can't I. I think I actually watched that bit. I think I may have watched that video that you're talking about with the, you know, one of McGregor's like longtime trainers from Crumlin Boxing Gym. I think I watched it because, like I told you, since we've been on this UFC drought, I've been watching so much content, and I watch content even when there is UFC, like usually during the week, like while I'm like doing laundry and stuff or stuff around the house or whatever, dude. Like I'll be, you know, I consume a ton of content, you know, all these MMA pros, pro picks, fights, you know, for each main event each week. I tend to watch those. I watch tons of stuff, but, you know, Chael Sonnen, I've been watching Chael Sonnen. I watched a ton of those interviews. I watched Owen Roddy's interview about the Poirier-McGregor fight. I watched John Kavanaugh's interview about the Poirier-McGregor fight. I watched that coach from Crumlin Boxing Gym's interview about that fight. And I think I did watch the one you're talking about, because I know that rang a bell when you said how he was almost in dismay that we were questioning, you know, if Poirier's boxing was on par with McGregor's. I think that's how he put it. And the one I watched, he did seem kind of like there was really no comparison of it. And could be from all the content I consumed, but, you know, one point that Owen Roddy made, and this point actually has me leaning to McGregor big time. And I think that this fight could be, like, my prediction about a week or two ago, my prediction last week for the fight that it would be a dogfight, probably four or five rounds, and either it'd be a fourth or fifth round stoppage, or it would go to a decision. That was what I was leaning towards last week, and it was for either guy. This week, especially after this point Owen Roddy made, he said, if you look at Poirier's fights, he gets hit a lot in his fights. And if you look at his fights, he also gets rocked in his fights. He doesn't get rocked a ton, but he said you can point out a moment in probably each of his recent fights where he could have been rocked during the fight, or he looked like he may have been rocked during the fight. And, I mean, if you look at his fight with Max Holloway, for example, I mean, Poirier got hit so many times in that fight. I mean, he won the fight and he looked great. I mean, I think they both look great. But Poirier got tagged so many times. And if you just and Owen Roddy was like, well, if you take that fight, I mean, he didn't use that fight for example, but I'm using that fight for example. And what he was basically saying is Poirier is not going to be able to just go in there and just get tagged like that from McGregor. He's like, you know, McGregor landing that many shots the way Poirier usually gets hit, Poirier's probably not going to be able to handle that.
Like, I don't think so. No, I agree 100%.
It's not going to take, like, a lot of these guys, Poirier's able to take so much damage from. But, you know, what he was saying was just that, like, the way McGregor's power is and his power and precision and speed and technique is, he's very unpredictable. It's very unorthodox and it's very scary. It's like very scary, ferocious power. And, you know, if he takes the left hand at any point, or even, you know, one of those spinning back kicks that McGregor's, you know, been bringing back, it could get ugly for Poirier.
You know, that you bring up the spinning back kick. John Kavanaugh, his interview on that YouTube video, he talked about that. That was close. Like, that was like, he said it was like an inch shy and it was going to hit him. But, speaking of the Max Holloway fight, I believe Dustin said that in that Max Holloway fight in the third round, he was going to go down. Like, he was hurting, but for whatever reason, he stayed in. And I don't know, man, you know, like, it's so weird to me, Dustin's rise, you know, from 155 to, 145 back up to 155. Like, you know, he basically is almost perfect. Like, obviously the loss to Khabib, but everyone has lost to Khabib. Conor, Justin, Edson Barboza, himself. You know, so it's not like he's lost, you know, just some random people. But regardless, as I was mentioning before, you know, yeah, at 155, he's basically perfect because, you know, he lost to Michael Johnson, which, that fight is just so weird. You know, he just got KO'd stiff as a board. Well, not stiff as a board, but he got KO'd. He got stopped. And, you know, after that fight, he went on to fight Jim Miller. the Eddie Alvarez fight, Pettis, Gaethje, Eddie Alvarez again, then the Max Holloway fight, then Khabib. And it's like, you had such a good streak going, but then you had to meet up with Khabib, and that was it. It's like, it just makes me wonder. You know, I'm not a religious person in any way. You know, I don't got any no disrespect towards anyone that is, but it's like, it reminds me of like Chris Cyborg when she fought Nunes. She was in the back talking to John Jones. She was asking John, why does he think God would do this to her? You know, why did God want her to lose? And obviously, in retrospect, it appears that he wanted her to lose because she needed to get out of the UFC because now she's the Bellator world champion. So there's that. But it just makes me wonder, you know, why did Dustin lose? You know, why did he go on such a streak of these wars, these battles, these main events just to come to Khabib and then lose, but then immediately come back and get into another war with Dan Hooker, almost getting stopped? Go back and watch that fight. He got saved by the bell. I think if there was still some time left in that one round, he would have lost. For whatever reason, he did not go down. Man, I want to keep talking about this fight. I just want to see it. I want to see it so badly. I really want to know what's going to happen. Is Khabib going to retire? Is he going to vacate the belt? Are they going to wait till last minute to announce it's a title fight? Like, what are we doing here? No? Talk to me. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's, you know, the headlines, like, the past couple days, you know, they tried to spin this, you know, this story. I want to say it was, like, you know, a couple of major MMA news outlets, they tried to spin this story saying how, like, they tried to claim that Khabib said that he expects that the winner of the Poirier and McGregor fight will take his belt. And the way that they spun it in the headline, the way they wrote it, and the way he said it, I mean, it was just extremely misleading. But then when you read the article and, like, read the quotes of what Khabib actually said, that's not what he meant. And the articles tried to spin it to make it seem like, oh, Khabib knows some insider information that we don't. This fight might be for the vacant title. Like, that was the way that was my perception of what these articles were trying to say before I actually read the direct quotes in the article from what Khabib, like, word for word said. And then when I read what he actually said, there was a lot more in depth. It was a lot more comprehensive, and it was very clear that that's not the way he meant it, but the headlines, they tried to make it sound like that Khabib knew something we didn't about his belt. All he was saying was that he thinks the winner of that fight, you know, could very well be the champion, you know, later, you know, down the line, you know, or not too soon after. Not that the fight is, you know, not that he thinks the fight is going to be for his belt, but that the winner of that, you know, could take his belt, you know, not too far in the future. So, and I think that's kind of like I feel like that's a very simple assumption to make. It's a very obvious assumption to make. I think either one of these guys could very well be the lightweight champion in 2021 at some point. You know, I think that's a very obvious, you know, claim, very obvious. You don't need to be anybody to really, you know, foresee that. But, I think this fight, I don't think they're going to put the title on it. You know, I don't think they're going to put the title on it. I think they're just going to leave it because what I'm hearing is that Khabib is scheduled to meet with Dana White at some point in January. I don't know when they're meeting, but if I were to guess, I don't think that I wouldn't guess that Khabib just goes into that meeting and, depending on what it's about, I doubt he's just going to say, like, I want to relinquish my belt, put it up for grabs, and then it's just going to become, I don't know, I just don't see it. If that were to happen, I feel like it would take a bit longer for, like, something like that to pan out. And, you know, I God knows what they even talk about. You know, it could even be completely irrelevant, you know, to the case. So I don't think the fight's going to have a title added to it. I mean, I'd prefer that. I think I would prefer that it did.
No, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think they want to put the title on the line because I think that will affect the, you know, motive. And it's stupid to say this. It's really stupid that I'm actually saying this, but I trust me, I'm being real here. I feel like putting the title on the line will mess with Dustin's head. You know, like I kind of feel like, you know, you have these fighters, like biggest example is Cowboy. Cowboy has fought for UFC gold. He just got beat so quickly that no one actually remembers. Plus, it was a fight night main event against RDA. But most of the time when Cowboy's chips were down and he needed that win, he hasn't been able to get it done. Sadly, it's very sad, but that's how it is. For Dustin, when the chips were down and he needed the win, I'd say 95% of the time, he needed to do it. You know, against Connor back in 45, couldn't do it. Against Habib, couldn't do it. So I feel like putting that title online might just break. You know, I know he wants that title. It's obviously the whole point that he's taking this fight, you know, getting that win, getting that fight back. I don't know. Just, it concerns me. Some people, I feel, you know, when you put the spotlight on him, you put the pressure on him, you know, he is the diamond, and it's either you're going to make or break. I don't know if this diamond can handle that kind of pressure. So we'll see. We will see. But
yeah, I mean, if I'm Poirier, I was thinking about this today at work. You know, I was at work, and, like, I tend to think about fights at work. You know, a lot of times on the show, I feel like you hear me start off with that. You hear me say, well, I was at work. I was thinking about the fight. But, you know, that's one of my favorite places to evaluate these fights is while I'm at work. But,
of course.
You know, I was thinking about the fight. And I was working, and I was like, you know what? I think if I'm Dustin Poirier, I think I'm going to really, like, go against the grain with this fight, and I'm not even going to strike with Connor. I don't even think I'm going to go there. Because if you really want to win the fight, the more I look at it as it draws closer, I just don't think, especially after what Connor's coach, Owen Roddy, said, he really convinced me. You know, that if you really and not necessarily about the idea that McGregor is just a better fighter than Poirier, that's not necessarily what it is at all. And it's not what it is. It's what it is that, you know, that is debatable. Who's the better fighter is kind of debatable. But the point of it is that what he said about Poirier, like, if you look at Poirier, look at all these wars, like, he gets hit so much. He can't play that kind of – he can't fight that kind of fight versus McGregor. If he tries to fight that kind of fight, he's going down. Like, you can't – I mean, McGregor wouldn't fight with him that kind of – I don't think McGregor would even engage in that – in a war. McGregor's going to fight – if he were to try – the fight would probably happen at distance. If they're going to strike, I would think they're going to strike at distance. I don't think you're going to see these two guys, you know, in the pocket just swinging for the fences, you know, like you saw with – you know, Poirier and Hooker. I don't think you would see something like that, because it's these two guys that, I mean, they're just too. I think if they were going to strike, it'd be more strategic and probably at distance. Poirier could probably strike at distance, but I feel like if you really want to win this fight and you want to have the best chance, I think Poirier should probably, you know, try to take him down and try to submit Connor. I think that's probably his best option there. Or, I mean, maybe incorporate some leg kicks and try to, you know, try to kick Connor's legs off. I mean, if you're really going to strike with Connor, I think leg kicks is probably the way. But, I mean, I don't advise it for Poirier to fight the way he's fought his past, like, four fights. I don't advise it. If he were to fight that fight versus McGregor, I think it's going to be a bad night for him.
I think – I agree. I think a lot of people would agree. But I think, yeah, like, Dustin's ego, you know, is going to – is not going to let him, you know, take him to the ground and, like, get a submission or, like, wrestle him. You know, it's going to – wants to get that knockout. He knows the fans want to see that, but come on. Like, in all respect, I'm one of those guys, I admit. I'm not a big fan of the wrestling. There's a difference between the wrestling of, like, Corey Anderson, who in his last few fights he's done more ground and pound to where, like, you know, Khabib, where he's wrestling, but he's always smashing and always looking for something. To where, like, and then you have a Charles Oliveira who he takes you down and immediately is looking for a submission. And then you have some guys who just are taking you down and wrestling you because they're trying to score points and just kind of grind out the fight. That's the stuff I admit I can't get into. And I've gotten enough slack for it. But regardless, yeah. Also, but to your point, I like that you brought that up, the kicking of McGregor, because if you actually watch a lot of Conor's fights, not a lot of people try to kick Conor in the legs, which is very interesting because if you watch the Eddie fight, he had great success kicking Conor in the legs early on, and he actually dropped Conor and then, like, by an inch missed a clean uppercut that would have done serious damage because there was nothing, no way to, you know, prepare for it. It was just going to clean clock you. So that's a great point. I really like that. I really wonder why not a lot of people try to mess with Conor's legs. But don't stand with Conor, Dustin. Please don't. Just mix it up, do it right, you know, and get the win. But if I may, real fast, you know, we got a few minutes left in the show. Today
we got 8 minutes.
We got 8 minutes. All right, just real fast.
We got we got 8 minutes. You're good. We got 8 minutes.
Okay, so I know you Keys, you're not a huge fan of the wrestling, the WWE or AEW. I know Lee is. He's a big fan. We had a recent passing in the world of professional wrestling by a guy by the name of John Huber. He went by in WWE. He was Luke Harper. And then before he went to WWE, he was on the indie scene known as Brody Lee. And he passed a few days ago due to some sort of lung disease that is not COVID related, but it has taken a storm, you know, a beautiful storm, sadly to put it, over the wrestling community. You know, so many people have come together, and I just wanted to, you know, let anyone know that knows, that's watching, you know, we do talk a little bit of WWE, little wrestling, not too much. But, you know, anyone that listens, just know that we, you know, rest in peace to Brody Lee. We are very sorry, John Huber, to his family, to everyone, you know, that was close to him. It's a huge one, you know. I don't mean to keep going on about this one because it's weird. You know, man, this is a weird topic to talk about, but I just wanted to talk about it real fast. You know, I never met this guy. You know, he's a professional wrestler. Never met him in my life. But, like, it's kind of like, you know, just watching a TV show and you grow to like certain characters and, you know, you watch them on your TV every day. And then at some point in life, they have to go, pass on. And it's just a sad one. I think it was way too early in his time. I don't believe it was his time to, you know, pass on, sadly. But for whatever reason, it had to happen. But, yeah, just wanted to let that out. I just thought about it because AEW is doing a remembrance episode for his life. So just want to let anyone listening just, you know, want to check that out. There you go. But, yeah, that's it for me.
No, I mean, I'm actually glad you brought that up because I know who Luke Harper is. I wouldn't know him by his previous aliases because, like you said, I really don't know much about wrestling. I mean, I used to be a fan of wrestling when I was, you know, years ago, but I really fell off with wrestling, you know, quite a while ago. And, I mean, I started to pick back up with WWE when I was in college a little bit. I started to pick it back up around the time when they brought Goldberg back and they had Goldberg, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar had a couple matches that, like, it was when that first happened, I started to get back into it and I was definitely watching it a little bit. And then I liked when they had, like, you know, when Kofi Kingston won the, I don't know if you watched WWE or not, but when Kofi Kingston won, they put the WWE title on Kofi Kingston. I really liked that. I was watching during that time too, so I thought that was really cool. But like I said, I wouldn't. I mean, I fell off of wrestling, you know, many years ago. But I do know who Luke Harper is. When I saw that earlier, or was it I don't know if it was yesterday or today when I saw that news. But when I saw that news, that made me sad. You know, I was, because he was. I want to say he was fairly young too. I want to say he was pretty young, and that was really sad to see that, because I've watched matches. You know, I've watched a handful of matches Luke Harper was in, and I did enjoy watching that guy. You know, I did like his character. His WWE character at least. And that was definitely sad to see that. And so I was actually even gonna bring, and then we got, so I actually completely forgot about it. I mean, I dived right into what I was diving into, and then we got, you know, carried away with so many topics. And you know, but when I did see that at first, I was like, wow, like damn, like, you know, Lee watches wrestling. These guys, you know, I like wrestling. I want to bring this up on the show later, and I figured you guys would have a bit to talk about that. But that was good, because I had forgotten to do that, and you had done it, and then you just went ahead and did that. So that was really great. What did you say? What's his government name?
His government name is John Hooper, Huber.
John Huber.
Yeah, Huber. I believe he like has a kid. The reason I brought it up is because I was scrolling Twitter and Instagram, and there was a video of his son at AEW, and Eric Rowan, the guy who played Eric Rowan with Harper, he appeared on the show, to just, you know, show some love and all that. But you know, man, I had to bring it up because it just kind of hit me in my feelings, because him joining AEW was incredible to me. You know, I haven't really been a huge fan of watching wrestling lately, just without the fans. It's just, it really hurts me that he's gone, because finally getting into AEW, he was given a chance to really shine as a professional wrestler. Like, he was finally letting his talent shine. And, you know, he won the TNT title, the TV title, I think. He did not win the world title, but I think, you know, I don't know how long he's had this lung disease for, but I really think, you know, whatever you believe in, that he was given the time to show the world what he truly could do, and people will know, you know, how good he truly was and how good he was could have became. But you know, it's that's it for me. It's, rest in paradise, and, you know, hope his kid and his family and just everyone are okay, and just, you know, just never forget, always remember, and just hug your loved ones, man, because it's just sudden, you know, and you never think about it. Like, when my cousin told me, man, it was the last person on my mind who I thought would have passed away. Like, when I found out about Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, that stunned me. But then you find out that he's been battling cancer for 4 years, so it kind of, you know, it's understandable. We didn't know, but still, it's just unexpected. But please, final words, my friend.
Yeah, rest in peace. Rest in peace to John Huberman. Rest in peace. That's, you know, I'm glad that you. I'm glad that you were well versed enough, like, to be able to, like, break down, like, some of his accomplishments. You know, it was really nice that, you know, you were able to highlight that. Rest in peace to John Huber. And yeah, like you said, you just never know. So that's why we all, you know, we all gotta love each other like as if we never know. You know what I mean? Love each other as if we really don't, which we don't. So. Know, as if any day, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, we definitely crushed a ton of topics tonight. I'm really happy with this show. To, you know, get on a much lighter note, you know, something that I wanted to bring up on the past couple of shows, and I kept meaning to bring it up, kept forgetting, is, you know, I always say thank you for listening at the end of our shows, but seriously, thank you for listening, like, because, like, I'm always thankful, even if, like, one person to our show in a whole month, I mean, that typically doesn't happen, you know, but, I mean, it's just an example, but, like, my point being is that I'm thankful for, you know, the listeners, whether it's 1, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, like whatever the case is, like I appreciate anybody who chooses to listen to our show, even if they don't like it, you know, just anyone who gives our show a chance, you know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people do like it. And the numbers lately, you know, would say that they do, especially since you've come on our show pretty much full time, Evan, the numbers have been drastically different. And I meaning to tell you that too, and I kept forgetting to tell you that as well. But the numbers have been drastically different, notably different, and very consistent too. And it's almost spot on with the timing in which you came onto our show. So it's, you know, within the last 2 months or so, it seems like the numbers have been very consistent and very generous. People have definitely been streaming our show for sure. You know, a very, very solid amount, and I'm very happy with that. You know, I always appreciate the listeners, but especially lately, y'all been showing a ton of love, and I hope that love carries over to our new platform, because we're gonna be moving. You know, gonna bring the Blog Talk Radio audience over, you know, to our new platform too. You can show us love there, and we're going to be having some great content there. So, you know, we're going to be having some video content for sure. I'm going to get in front of the camera, you know, 90% chance I'm getting in front of the camera. So we got to set up the set, and it's going to be good. But, that's just what I wanted to say. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate the love recently. It's been great. And, that's all I got. You know, there's, enjoy the weekend. There's no UFC, so that is kind of sad. No UFC next weekend either. That's kind of sad. But, you know, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's going to be, you know, tomorrow. I think tomorrow is New Year's Eve. So, yeah, everybody have a happy and safe New Year. And that's all I got.
Yeah.
Evan, any last words, or you want to call it right there?
Just to carry tap on what you were saying, just, you know, thank you for listening, and to you, I appreciate the kind words. You know, I'm just all about, you know, benefiting, you know, the show. I'm very grateful to be on here, grateful to have been given this opportunity. And yeah, like you mentioned, just can't wait for next year. Can't wait to, you know, figure out what's next for us. And, you know, as Lee always says, just, you know, live, love, laugh, all that stuff. Try to be as happy as you can. Laugh a little. Honestly, laughter is the best. And real fast, before we, because this will be our, you know, final show before the new year. It just came out on Twitter that Izzy versus Jan Blachowicz will be March 6th for the light heavyweight title. So we will talk about that next week. So please stay tuned for the next episode next week. We'll be talking about that. But that's it for me. Take it away.
All right. And like my boy, yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that next week. Like I said, we're going to be doing our year in review show for 2020. You know, we'll probably all have our event of the year, probably all have our fighter of the year, breakout fighter of the year, you know, upset of the year, things like that. Division of the year, you know, most, you know, best division of the year probably. And yeah, so then we're going to talk about that light heavyweight super fight after that. Yeah, probably at the end of our year interview show, towards the end, you know, when we have some time. But anyways, yeah, like my boy Lee always says, I can't leave it without. You said the first half. I wasn't sure if you were going to say it, but you said it. You said the first half, so I got to say the second half. Over and out. Peace.